Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Thursday, everybody. Sean Cantwell, Adam Hairhawk at your local alternative solid state radio. We've got a lot of stuff to cover this afternoon, so I don't want to spend too much time on the Tigers and the E-Rod stuff, but there is something that has come out since last we talked about it yesterday, so I feel like I at least got to address it here at the top of the show. If you hadn't heard, Ken Rosenthal from The Athletic reporting that apparently E-Rod had asked for additional financial considerations in order to approve his no-trade clause or to waive his no-trade clause to allow himself to be sent to the Los Angeles Dodgers. I know at first when this thing came out, it's all, oh, he wants to stay on the East Coast. He wants to be close to his family and all of this. And maybe there was some truth to that, but now this is coming out. And I certainly don't think it absolves Scott Harris of any blame, because it doesn't. You still should have had some sort of backup plan, knowing full well that your guy could just veto you like that. And just with one, I'm not waiving my no trade clause, nix the whole deal before you ever got there. Be that as it may, it sure seems like now E-Rod was maybe less than forthcoming about his willingness to go. And apparently, from the sounds of it, he dropped the, I need this additional money if I'm going to waive this thing, pretty late in the game. But you still got to kind of, you know, keep in mind that that can happen anytime. You got to have some sort of backup. You've got to be able to flip a guy to another team that's not on that list and somehow complete the deal. Like, I heard, you know, that it had been reported, I believe John Heyman had said that they'd started working on a three-team deal in the 11th hour where LA would still get a comparable pitcher. E-Rod would get shipped off to a team that didn't, that wasn't in his no-trade clause. And I ultimately would have been entirely fine with that, but it sounds like they started working on it so late. And I just don't get how you didn't. You have to, as a GM in any sports league, you have to think through every possible option and how things can go wrong and, you know, what hurdles you might have to clear. Because at no point did E-Rod supposedly or his agent say he was going to waive the no trade clause. Like, they hadn't talked to him directly about it. No one had been in contact with him. Like, both sides had been on the phone with him, they claim, but no one had ever gotten the explicit, I will waive my no trade clause from him. And as a result, you ended up missing out on shipping out one of the more valuable assets you still had. And now for a guy who is most likely, despite all his claims about he wants to be here, his family loves it here, he loves the guys he's playing with, he's still probably going to walk at the end of the season. Like, you basically have to come to terms now with the fact that he may say all these things, but we all know every player, every agent, whatever, like, oh, I want to be here. I want to retire here. I want to spend the rest of my career here. The second they have the opportunity to leave, they do. That's just the way the game goes. And while I'm not exactly thrilled at E-Rod for this, and if he does end up bolting this offseason, I'm going to be even less so. Like, he's not going to be hated in this town the same way, say, that Javi Baez is at present. But certainly, I feel like a lot of fans are not going to be happy when this guy inevitably walks in the offseason and all the talk about how much his family loves it here and how much he wants to be here and all that stuff is going to go out the window real quick. But all of this, to me, still falls. It doesn't, none of this absolves Scott Harris of blaming the situation. You went in thinking, okay, I got this. I don't need to have a backup plan. This is going to work. I'm going to make it work. Like, it's hubris bordering on arrogance, really. And it essentially cost you an opportunity to really bolster this team's future going forward. So I just wanted to kind of get that in there, get the Tiger stuff out of the way early on. We got a lot to do today. Don't go anywhere. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative solid state radio. It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Hairhawk. I'm Sean Cantwell.
Love is in the air.
I suppose.
There's a mayor in Mexico. He celebrated his nuptials.
Good on him. Congratulate, you know.
His wife, Alicia Adriana,
sounds hot.
reenacted an ancestral ritual.
Okay.
Local lore tradition calls, onlookers clapped and danced in the San Pedro Jamoala, a town of indigenous Chontal people in Oaxaca State, southern Mexico. The bride is an alligator.
Wait, what?
Mayor in Mexico has married a female alligator-like animal in a traditional ceremony, which is believed to bring good fortune to his people.
Is that how that works now?
You can't have marriage without love. I yield to marriage with the princess girl. Calls the alligator princess girl. He was pictured kissing the animal on the head.
And it's a crocodile.
It is a crocodile.
How? Why? Mostly why?
Marriage between, I mean, the United States, we got a problem. Like, guys can't marry other guys. And in Mexico, they're like, screw it.
Marry a crocodile if you want. We don't care, apparently.
Marriage between a man and a female caiman has taken place there for 230 years to commemorate the peace between the, I'm hoping I'm not butchering these names.
You probably are.
Between the Chontal and Huave indigenous groups. The mayor representing the Chontal king. Marries the reptile, symbolizing a Huave princess girl in union of the two communities. I mean, Huave, let me get this straight. Huave, to represent us is a goddamn alligator. Is that, am I reading that correctly?
That is correct, sir, apparently. Yeah. I don't make the ancient rituals, we just enforce them.
Before the ceremony, the animal is carried from house to house so locals can hold her and dance. Four people were bitten. No.
I say, how many people got eaten in that? That's what it actually is. It's like a sacrifice to the alligator god, apparently.
The alligator's like, wow, this is better than DoorDash.
Right? They're delivering me to the food. This is awesome.
Those guys look fat and tasty, and knock on their door. No, it doesn't say how big this thing is, but I've seen pictures. And, you know, it's not a tiny alligator, but everybody's holding it. The reptile wears a green skirt, a colorful hand-embroidered tunic, and a headdress of ribbons and sequins. Her snout is bound shut, so there aren't any premarital mishaps. And also, so she knows her place.
And pitchforks and torches arrive in 5, 4, 3.
It's an alligator, people. Back off.
She's no, later, seriously, is it back off? Because you don't want to get bit by this thing.
She is later dressed. You may now bite the groom. She's later dressed in a white bride's costume and taken to the local town hall for the wedding. After the event, the mayor danced with his bride to the sounds of traditional music. Mr. Sosa told the AFP news agency, "We are happy because we celebrate the union of two cultures. People are content." Later, they would go to the Motel 6 and consummate.
Dear Lord, is it bad? That's gonna be my next question. Like, I don't want. I don't know about you. I don't want to be there. I don't want to know how they consummate that marriage, man.
Oh, here, Victor Hugo Sosa. Had his wiener bit off.
Poor guy. Alas, we knew him well, or maybe not. It's happy hour. Stick around. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. So we kind of delved into this a little bit the other day when we were talking about the whole Barbie movie thing.
Yes.
And
how a bunch of male chauvinist manly people are just so threatened by Barbie.
Yeah, basically. But in that same spirit, what are the things every man should try even though they are stigmatized as feminine and unmanly?
I grew up in the 80s when everybody said, you know, real men don't eat quiche. I would tear quiche up. I've never had it. I don't think I have. I think I've had it like maybe at a buffet. But
I have had it, and I wasn't a huge fan, admittedly.
If it was at like egg or something like that.
I think so.
I love eggs. I will bite it. Absolutely. Quiche, not a problem. Yoga.
Yoga's probably a fair one, except I am not anywhere near flexible enough for that to be a thing in my world.
Well, see, that's why you take yoga, so you can get flexible.
I think we're already beyond the point where there's no returning from that. Like, it's just going to break me in places I didn't know could be broken. I feel like that's the best case scenario at this point.
Yeah, my mom wants to get me into yoga class. She's a yoga instructor. And every kind of ailment, you got to try yoga. You got to try. I'd be like, Mom, I was just shot in the back.
Have you tried yoga?
Have you tried yoga? Yoga might be right for you.
Ask your doctor if yoga is right for you.
Wasn't he the little green lizard in Star Wars? No. First of all, he was not a lizard.
He was basically a lizard.
Yoga.
That's definitely, I would think, very high on the list.
Going to see the ballet. A lot of people consider that to be "quote unquote" fruity, but I mean, there's a lot of talent in there.
No, there's absolutely there's a lot of talent in that for sure. I feel like you're meaning it in a different way than I necessarily was.
Oh yeah.
Trust me. Let's say some of the things you'll find in there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Which sounds about right. One that also kind of came up when we talked about this the other day, cooking, where. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, cooking, being the cook at home is girly. That's the woman's work or whatever. Like,
Go ahead, but I have something to add to that.
Go ahead and add to it.
There's a lot of women who get real defensive of the kitchen. That's my domain. That's you have the living, you have the garage. I have the kitchen is mine. Women are supposed to be the cooking people. They're supposed to be the baking people. Like when I am stocking in the baking aisle and I'm with a female team member, customers will bypass me completely and go
because they assume you don't know how to cook or bake.
Yeah, they go to the women, even though some of the most world famous bakers and chefs are all men. But they don't care about that. They go straight to the female because, I can hear the women right now cackling away. No,
direct all your hate mail to Adam Harahawk at 47.
No, but women will understand what I'm about to say. This when they go into an auto parts store, they're talked down to.
They're treated like idiots by dudes who also probably don't know anything about the cars they're supposed to be working on.
You're not far off. I'll go into an auto parts store with Dorothy, and they'll be talking to me. They'll be focusing everything on me. I'm like, listen, dude. I don't even know where the muffler goes in a car. I think it's under the hood. I'm not too sure. Talk to her. She knows what's going on.
And that's probably fair, and that's certainly the case in my relationship, too. Like, if either of us know a damn thing about cars, it's her.
Yeah.
And that's at least a little bit more than what I've got, which is to say nothing at all. Like,
I have no idea.
Like, I'm probably the guy that you could sell damn...
Blinker
fluid, too.
Yeah, it is. Winter is coming. I better figure out how to do this. Cooking, women put a lot of that stigma on them. But, yeah, the idea that if you're a guy and you think cooking is the woman's job, you're going to be a very hungry individual.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like, that's really just not going to work out well for you, ultimately. Like, you're not going to be getting cooked for, and you're probably not going to be getting laid either.
No. There'll be no cooking in the kitchen or the bedroom.
Absolutely not. Oh, here's one for you. Drinking the fruitiest cocktail is the most rewarding. Like, the whole the girl drink thing. Those are some delicious-ass drinks.
Yeah, but, I mean, you as a bartender, if somebody come up and, you know...
Well, as a bartender, it's a pain in the ass because it's more than two drinks that aren't spelled out in the name.
Yeah.
But other than that... Yeah. Like, I work at a dive bar. You come in ordering a martini or a Cosmo, I'm going to laugh you out of the building.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's literally because we don't have the stuff to make it, and we are the place that we are. Like, you go to the fancy place and drink the fancy-looking cocktail that's, you know, neon-colored or whatever. Yeah, it's probably going to be good, and you know what else? Yeah. It's going to get you effed up like no other.
But
I guarantee you that.
We need Jim for that one because we always talked about if his customer ordered insert drink here, what does he think of them? If a guy came up and wanted a Cosmopolitan or a chocolate martini or Appletini or something like that,
Jim,
what would he think
of it? Jim's not going to judge him. He has said as much. He's not like necessarily judging you for ordering a traditionally fruity or, you know, girly drink. Like, that's he's not going to judge you for that, and I'm not necessarily either. Let me tell you, we went to this tiki bar down in down outside Southwest Detroit a couple of months ago and got these big old giant fruity drinks served to us in parrot-shaped glasses.
Dead
and
birds. Let me tell you, just cut the head off.
And let me tell you,
I don't want to die.
But let me tell you, Adam, they were delicious. They were delicious, and let me tell you, they were strong as all get out.
Okay, I think that is, if you're in a tropical setting, that is one way a guy can go ahead and order a drink like that without any kind of static from his friends, because they're probably doing the same thing. But try that at, like, Cascade and Lounge, or, you know, some watering holes around here. Order a martini or a sweet tart. Or something like that.
Oh, you'd be surprised how many dudes do the sweet tart shots at a certain establishment here in town.
Shots, though. I mean, if somebody wanted, like, the drink, something like that, he would get a ribbon.
Well, he'd probably get a ribbon, but the point still stands that drink is, I guarantee you, could be more delicious than yet another, you know, Jack and Coke, Captain and Coke, and also is going to get you a lot more screwed up, a lot more quicker, if that's the goal here.
Yeah.
If you can pound a couple of them, you know, couple of sweet tart full-on drinks, and, like, you're doing all right, let me tell you.
There is somebody that works.
I do, however, judge you if you order the Long Island, just because I don't care. Like, people claim, oh, you can make that drink taste good. I maintain that, no, you cannot.
Okay.
And you're mixing, like, 25 different styles of liquor.
I got two different windows going on in my head right now. Real quick, we do make fun of somebody on the South Area staff because he drinks White Claw.
You make fun of someone on the South Area staff because he drinks White Claw.
Yes, I do.
I do not.
But, I mean, okay.
Woody can drink whatever he wants, thank you very much.
I first started drinking Long Island iced teas at, like, back, it was called Damon's Steakhouse. It was like your Applebee's or something like that.
Yeah.
And I thought I liked Long Island's. And then
you found out you were wrong.
Well, I was just getting a watered down version of said drink. And I would drink them as my set drink at the Lapeer Bowling Alley when we used to play there back in the day. And yeah, again, it was a lot of sour mix, a lot of this. I had a real Long Island at the Corona Road Bar.
Uh-huh.
Oh, a legitimate and...
Do you remember the rest of your night?
Vaguely. It was like kind of in and out. But you have that's a real drink right there. Then it's just like, oh my God.
No, absolutely. It's not... The Long Island is not to be trifled with.
No.
By any means. Respect the Long Island.
It's to be respected because as I learned from my state required counseling... That 1 ounce of liquor, it takes an hour to go through your system. Long Island has 5 shots in there, so it takes one Long Island iced tea will stay in your system for 5 hours. More bang for your buck.
it is. Oh, it most certainly is. That is not a drink that messes around in any way, shape, or form.
We are talking about things that considered girly that guys need to try. We talked about... drinks. I talked about quiche, yoga. What else, Sean? What else you got on the list?
Here's one. I feel like we know a few people who probably would agree with this. Going to the spa. We all deserve to be pampered every once in a while.
Yeah, I would go to a spa in no time flat. But yeah, if somebody was like, I'm going to the spa, I'd call them a few names. Sure, absolutely. Then I'd secretly be like, lucky bastard.
Right, yeah, you know, secretly you're thinking at the end, like, you know, I'm kind of jealous. I wouldn't mind doing that, actually.
I mean, let's just picture Brother Stone with a mud facial, hair up in a towel, cucumbers on
his
eyes. I don't know.
he's still got a towel on his head, even though he doesn't have any hair.
Exactly.
I can almost picture this, actually, with him.
Getting a mani-pedi. There's one time we almost pulled our cash together just to watch him across the hall get a pedicure.
Like, I'm told by so many people that that's such a great thing. Like, we back when the nail salon was directly across the hall from us, there were a few dudes who would come in there every so often.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like, it's totally a thing. It's not something I've ever really thought to do, but I also was weird with other people touching me most applications. Like, you know, I couldn't see myself going across the hall. Like, you know, the massage thing. He was like, don't touch me. And I know them, and I like them, and I still probably would, like, because of anything to do with the masculinity thing. It's just, I'm just uncomfortable with people touching me, yeah. As a general rule.
Yeah. You probably get, like, really ticklish on the feet, so you probably end up kicking them.
Yeah, no one wants that. That just sounds like a bad time.
Now, Sean, I'm going to tack on a $20 for every time you kick me now. Right now, you're up to $240.
Yeah, we should probably call this while we still have, while I still have some money into my name. a lot said about here about, like, skincare and hydrating and face masks and things of that nature. Skincare routines.
We, as men, we need to stop thinking that we're wrong for self-care. Take care of yourself. Take care of your hair, especially while you got it.
No, absolutely.
Take care of your skin.
Take care of your everything else, because, you know, it ain't necessarily gonna last you otherwise. Like,
but then it's like, you have some women who are like, oh, I think it's great that he takes care of himself. And then you have some women, sometimes the same women, it's like, I don't like to have a guy that's in the bathroom longer than I am.
Yeah, I've heard that that's a thing for, you know, for some women, like, it what, like, you're making them look bad or something?
Yeah, something like that.
No, that's, I'm sure that's a thing.
Sure.
And then the last one, of course, it's one that comes up a lot, telling your friends you love them.
Perfectly acceptable, but there is an alcohol ratio that needs to be respected.
Yeah, you have to be absolutely plastered to the point where you barely stand up before you can do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, we don't make the rules.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because if you come in there stone cold sober, hey, I love you, man. Everybody's like, is he European? I mean, what is with this cat over here? But, I mean, it's, you know, if after a few drinks, I love you, man. You son of a bitch, I love you. That's acceptable.
Yeah, that's just the rules. That's kind of the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I am Sean Cantwell.
Hello.
And,
hi.
Want to do a little bit of Am I the A-Hole?
Yes.
These are always so much fun. And we haven't done them in a hot minute, but I kind of feel like today I want to sit in judgment of some people.
Let's get all judgy.
Let's judge the hell out of some people, shall we?
Yeah.
So here's your first one. Am I the A-Hole for canceling my brother's wedding?
I'm assuming the writer is a woman. I mean,
correct.
Okay, she canceled her brother's wedding.
Yes.
Right off the bat, I'm going to say yes, but I know how this goes.
That you're going to be proven wrong
you
in about
me,
5 seconds.
Every little bit information to the point where eventually I find out that wow, the brother is a complete piece of trash, and yeah.
Well,
Obi never gets married.
Well, kind of, sort of.
Okay.
To make a novel short. My brother met his future wife at a party 3 years ago. Honestly, we never got along, but I always tried to put up a peaceful front because my brother seemed blissfully happy with her. She was mean to me.
The writer wasn't getting along with the fiance?
The
wife, okay.
The future wife, yes. Okay. Ella was mean to me a lot. Like, a lot. She would make comments about my weight, my makeup, and especially my dog. She hated animals and hated that I bring my lab to my parents' or brother's house. It always felt like something aimed to hurt me. When the two got engaged, she asked me to be her maid of honor, since she has no sisters or many girlfriends, and since my brother seemed thrilled, I obliged.
Oh, boy.
What I failed to realize when I accepted the role was that to her, maid of honor meant planning the entire wedding. Like, I was booking booking venues, florists, band, everything. Even worse, she expected me to put my credit card down for all of it. My brother and her aren't well off, and since I have a well-paying job, I didn't mind holding the deposits, but it was starting to add up to a lot.
Oh, red flag.
Every time I asked her about it, she said it would be all paid back by her parents before the wedding. Well, flash forward to last week, about 3 weeks before the wedding, and she's unbearable to be around. She can't last more than a few sentences before snapping at anyone. So, of course, when I brought the money, you know what hit the fan.
Oh, yeah.
I asked if she received the updated receipt of everything owed when she exploded. She called me a whole line of terrible names, but the one that stuck out was her saying, "What do you need the money for anyway? Your sick dog is dead now." My dog had died about a month before this after dealing with cancer. I blinked at her and simply left the room, having no energy to even respond to something so cruel. I went back to my car, and after the 20-minute silent minute drive home, I parked the car and immediately called all the vendors and canceled any deposit under my card. Every single one. After almost 20 calls, all that was left of her wedding was the dress and the flower arch.
Oh, my God.
I texted my brother a short explanation. I told him that every vendor would be contacting him if they wished to keep their services, and they were now responsible for covering everything, and that I would no longer be attending. It was a matter of minutes before my phone started to explode, and I just turned it off. It's been a few days, and I haven't talked to anyone but my mom, who thankfully understands where I was coming from. My brothers tried to call, but I just feel terrible, both about what I did and about what she said. I know what I did was extreme, but I also couldn't sit by and practically enable her cruelty anymore. I still can't help but feel bad for ruining my brother's big day. So I don't know. Am I the a-hole for this?
Well, first of all, I don't know what her name. Let's give her a name, a really cool name. Tabitha. Her name's Tabitha. I am on Team Tabitha. Absolutely. I mean, it sucks for him, but he needs to wake up and smell the coffee. Because, I mean, this, his betrothed, is treating his sister like crap, like a bank card. And just, he should have seen that. He should have been the one to step up and say, you know what, back off. That's my sister. She's only standing up because you don't have any friends. And I'm beginning to see why. So, I mean, is she the a-hole for canceling everything? No, but, I mean, she also did just torpedo his wedding as much as her. She was trying to get back at her, not him. And he was just collateral damage. But that's her brother. I mean, it's, I don't know, what do you think?
I think, no, she is not the a-hole in any way, shape, or form whatsoever. Because you know damn well. You know as well as I do.
Yep.
They were never going to pay that money back.
It was not looking that way.
Like, oh, my parents are going to pay for it, and just kept putting it off, and then she freaked out. Oh, well, you need the money. Your dog's dead.
Yeah, what? I mean, nice tact. I don't care what kind of stress you're under. That's something you just don't do.
No.
You knew how much the dog meant to her. You just don't do that kind of stuff.
No. I hate that. Like, I think that in itself deserves everything that this woman did. Like, you know that you're basically making her plan this whole wedding for you, this woman who has made it abundantly clear that she doesn't like you, doesn't respect you, anything at all. Like, I think she got what she deserved.
That's the part that just flabbergasts me, where, okay, you're the maid of honor, because I have nobody else. You have to plan everything, and you have to pay for it. That's not how this works.
Right. Yeah, you're the maid of honor because I basically have no friends in my life because I've driven them all away by being an abusive asshole.
Yes. Yeah, that is definitely...
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. And to say, okay, well, you're in charge. At what point have you ever heard of the maid of honor planning everything?
Never.
I have heard more problems with maid of honors trying to plan everything and getting shot down than, you know, everything being thrown in her lap.
Yeah. Like I said, for ours, we didn't make the maid. I mean, we planned basically all the stuff ourselves. Like, we didn't ask. I feel like we didn't ask a terrible amount of our bridesmaids, groomsmen, whatever. I mean, I did ask you to deliver an introductory speech for the ages, and you did.
That was no big deal.
But, like, I didn't make anybody plan the whole occasion.
No,
like,
no.
We kind of knew what we wanted when we went in. The important stuff, anyway. Yeah. And the rest just
kind
of...
And you made it happen. I mean, they know... They've had their stuff planned, but they probably said, okay, you need to get a hold of this caterer and pay for it. We need you to get a hold of this DJ and pay for it.
Yeah, it's the and pay for it thing that really just gets me on this.
Yeah. Because, oh, you're, like, well off. What do you need money for? All you have is a dog, and he's dead.
Yeah, your dog's dead anyway and never loved you. And
you're not,
because you don't have anyone
wedding?
Else in your life who cares about you, clearly.
You're not coming to the wedding anymore? No, I'm going to go to the pound and rescue a dog.
I feel like that's honestly the best response you could give at that point. Like, yeah, I want to adopt a dog. Like, you know, something that's capable of feeling love and emotion, unlike you.
Exactly.
You selfish bitch. Wow. We just really just unleashed some things here, didn't we?
Yeah, so they're having their wedding in the, you know, in a rental shed. But here come the pizza rolls. I'm sorry, did you RSVP that you want the combo or the pepperoni?
Right. Catering by Tostitos. Let's do one more of these, shall we? Because these are always just so much fun. Am I the a-hole for not taking down my video that was a gift from my best man?
Taking down my video? No. If it's a gift, then absolutely not.
This is a weird one, so hang with me on this.
Okay.
I have a sister that's 6 years older than me. My parents for years cancel on me last minute because of my sister. I have a basketball game. Oops, sorry, sister doesn't feel like going out. I'm graduating. Oops, sorry, sister had a bad day at work. They've missed both major and smaller events in my life because of her meltdowns.
Oh, my God.
I met the love of my life. We decided to tie the knot. From the beginning, I told my parents how I'm worried my sister will ruin another special moment in my life. My mom over and over again told me it would not happen. The day of my wedding, I got a voicemail from my mom saying they couldn't come because my sister's dog was sick and she was upset.
Oh my God.
I was hurt. My best man, however, is a jokester. He took my phone, then went to my fiance and asked if he could post a video of our wedding as a gift on social media. She loved the idea. I had no idea about it till I came home. Our honeymoon was at a lakeside cabin, no cell service. The post caption was, "My best friend, he's an amazing person, even if his parents never showed up for him." Video was still pictures of us next to her parents, me on the dance floor, cutting the cake, where you'd normally see both parents in wedding pictures.
Uh-huh.
The sound behind the video was my mom's voicemail explaining how they couldn't come because my sister's dog was sick.
Oh, is this still available? Because I would love to see this.
I'm sure it's not. I came home a week later to hundreds of messages, family members from both sides insisting I take it down. I was told my sister hasn't stopped crying, my mom's refusing to leave the house. I may be the a-hole here. I didn't take it down when I got my messages. I didn't call my family back right away. I waited until my vacation time was over at work and enjoyed my time with my wife in our new home before I contacted anyone.
Yep.
My dad told me to take down the video. It was just a bad night for them, that they'll make it up to me and my wife for not coming. My reply was exactly, "How do you plan to make up my wedding? It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You just choose to ignore my feelings on the whole matter." Then he just repeated he'll make it up to me. I told him I'd take down the video only when he made up missing my wedding. Flustered, we both hung up the phone before we said things we shouldn't have. Am I the a-hole here? I could have just taken down the video.
It sounds like the writer has given in a lot. The sister, it sounds like she has a sibling rivalry with him to the point where she manifests these issues, this drama, just to take away from his day. Whether it's consciously, subconsciously, at this point, he has been putting up with a lot, and he saw this coming. He's telling, "I'm worried that she's going to ruin." No, she's going to be just fine. The parents should have been like, "Your dog's sick? Okay. Are you taking him to the vet?" "No. Well, we're going to go to the wedding. And if you don't want to go because your dog said, well, that's a decision you made. But our son is getting married, and we're doing this." But no, they dived right in. She's upset. So what did you do? You all sat around and watched this dog be sick?
Right. That's
went out for pizza? You know, while your son is getting married, I would not take it down.
No, like, I'd leave that video up forever. It'd probably also be the last time I ever talked to my parents.
You really would have an argument for that. Definitely the sister. I mean, she's persona non grata, like, right from there.
They've literally made it clear that any little thing your sister does takes priority over you, always has and always will.
Yep.
So why would you even consider maintaining a relationship with these people? Let the video stay up. I mean, because my dog's sick, I can't come to my son's wedding. Because your sister's dog's sick, I can't come to your wedding.
Right.
No.
That's...
Like, your parents don't give a damn about you.
No. Just,
this is one of those where I suggest you absolutely cut them off forever.
If I was to give the parents a little bit of space, I would say, well, they're probably trying to keep the peace with the daughter, because the daughter sounds like she is a basket case, which I know is not the medical term, but she's probably prone to violence, prone to hurting herself, and they're just trying to keep her safe and keep safe in the family. But they had to know the cost. They had to know what they were willing to bargain to stay away from their son's wedding. I mean, they played right into the sister's trap. She knew what she was doing. He knew what she was doing. he looked into his crystal ball. I was like, yeah, she's going to F this up for me.
No, absolutely. Garbage people, like, all the way around, man. Like, your immediate family is getting married, and they're all, you know, relatively close to each other, like, location-wise and everything else. Like, There's no excuse.
Yeah, and what is with that whole hundreds of phone calls from family members from both sides want me to take it down? Is nobody on my side on this one? So, okay, I want somebody to explain to me why I should take this down. Because it hurts feelings? Well, you know whose feelings are also hurt? Mine.
Yeah. When they, you know, when my own parents decided my wedding wasn't worth attending.
Yeah. The hell of that.
Yeah, you were absolutely not the a-hole on this. You get permission to, quite frankly, upload this thing to YouTube, TikTok, make it go viral.
Make sure you watch till the end.
It's happy hour. Stick around. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I am Sean Cantwell.
Lately, we've been going through a lot of these lists, and I like them. Because it gets us kind of talking about things that maybe bug us, especially somebody like me who works in a grocery store.
And gets bugged by people on a daily basis.
Yeah. So this is right in my wheelhouse. I'm taking y'all for a ride.
Oh, boy.
Etiquette experts broke down the rudest things you can do in a grocery store. And I bet you've done at least one. That's what the headline says.
I've probably done all of them. Every single one.
Grocery shopping is a rather mundane errand for most of us, but that's no excuse for behaving rudely and ignoring others as you browse the aisles.
I try my damnedest to ignore other people because I'm trying to get my stuff, get in and get out.
In, out.
With a minimum of human interaction, if at all possible.
Number one, everybody's been complaining about this for years. Stand-up comics have been bitching about this. Using the express line with too many items. You know, if it says 12 and you've got like 50, you don't see too many of those anymore. Because like the
really, you don't see as many of the express lines at all anymore.
No, the U-scans are pretty much how many you can jam up there. I mean, it's a tiny little table with three things for bags. I mean, good luck.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, there used to be like the express lanes, and it would be 12 items or fewer, and there'd be people that would call you out. You got 13 there.
Ooh.
Yeah, but I scan faster than you. I know what I'm doing.
Right.
As opposed to you, you're like, boop, look at the screen. What happened? What did I do? I don't understand what I do. Do I yell at it now?
I don't know what to do.
Oh, this person, I think. Ignoring aisle traffic rules. If you wouldn't do it on the sidewalk or on the highway, you probably shouldn't do it with your shopping cart in a supermarket.
Aisle traffic? There are traffic rules?
Apparently.
This is news to me. You've worked in a grocery store, and you don't think we're aware of these things.
No, I weave in and out of traffic with impunity because I work there. But, you know,
right.
Yeah.
Same.
I mean, highway rules, what, you know, wait people to merge, you know? Trucks over to the right. I mean, what's going on?
Right. Here? Like, are there one-way aisles now? Is that how this works?
Most aisles are open to two-way traffic. Keep to the right to allow traffic to keep moving. If you see someone and want to catch up, be sure to move off to the side and allow others. Yes, if you're in a conversation, don't take up the whole damn aisle.
I agree entirely.
In fact, if you can, get out of that aisle into like some of the T aisle areas, you know, the ones that go, you know, latitude, not longitude.
Yeah.
Hang out there as opposed to, because it's always like the couple talking to another couple. They got their kids there. The kids are effing around,
and all the carts are like blocking the aisle completely.
Yep.
No one likes you. Like you were the most hated people in the store in that moment.
touching and opening things without buying them. Yeah, that is really a rough one. I mean, the air freshener ones, you know, the canisters, spray a little bit, smell it. It's not, if everybody did it, you'd have like an empty can, but I mean, I guess, okay. But, you know, some of the people that just open up cookies, maybe have one and just like, oh, I don't like these. And then
do people still really do that?
Yeah. I've seen it where like they'll open up a thing of like Goldfish crackers and something, they give it to their kids so the kids stop squawking. And then it's an empty container. Like, oh, I'll just set that here and then walk off.
So I can just go and have just just a random free snack if I want it, and then just leave the wrapper somewhere in the aisle? Like, that's a thing I can do?
It's technically, well, you're a single male, so probably not. But, I mean, if you had, like, a kid or something like that, you'd probably get away with it. It's called grazing. It's still against the law, but they're not going to prosecute somebody for tapping into some, you know, Pop-Tarts or something like that while they're going through the aisle. So
probably not. Yeah, that's fair. See, so I guess we finally found it. The one actual upside to having children.
But I mean, you've seen it like where somebody will have like a thing of cherries from the produce department, and they'll just be kind of munching on the cherries. And I know because I find like the pits on the shelf because, you know, that's just classy. That's what I want to find when I'm stocking the shelves.
Oh, yeah, those are just the best.
We're talking about things that you etiquette. That you should follow in the store, and I'm sure somebody's broken at least one of these at one point. Disrespecting personal space, absolutely. Like if you're sitting there and you're looking at an area, and somebody just like reaches in front of you and grabs something, I mean that's disrespectful. Especially if you're stocking something, and there are a couple times I've been hit with things because they're pulling something off the shelf and it falls and hits me in the head.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
You're a more patient man than I am, clearly.
I'm stocking the bottom shelf in the cereal aisle, and this guy...
Probably chugging a can at that guy's head or something.
Yeah, drops and hits me. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I said, you couldn't wait a second? Impatient people.
Was this really entirely necessary in this moment?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, personal space. I've been hit with Amigos, like the little carts.
You've been run over by an Amigo?
I've been run into. I'm a big guy. The can was actually, you know... That's not exactly like a monster truck. They can't get over this mass. But you
know, I am picturing this though, and it's absolutely hilarious.
I'm like stocking the bottom shelf, and I'm like on my hands and knees. It's the bottom shelf for the canned vegetables, and I just get bumped into the butt. Oh, sorry. I'm like, listen, bitch.
Right.
I've never heard of this before in my life, and I've worked in retail for over 30 years. Taking items from other people's carts.
Wait, that's a real thing that people actually
apparently
do?
They said don't shop out of other people's carts. Just because someone isn't next to a cart doesn't mean its contents are up for grabs, even if it has the last bottle of sriracha in the store.
I didn't realize that was a real life thing that people actually did.
I've never heard of that in my life. I've heard of people like throwing things into people's carts, which, you know, that's funny. I hear those stories. It's like they'll be shopping along, and then somebody will just like throw some random stuff in there.
Okay, that's fair, I suppose. That'd be so annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who just goes and starts raiding someone else's? What is this, Raiders of the Lost shopping cart? Like, what are we doing here?
I mean, when everybody was like really clamoring for toilet paper, you know, in 2020.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's probably something. Oh, okay, that's ridiculous. You have like five big things of toilet paper. You're gonna give me one. And then that's where the fight begins.
That's probably where all this started. Damn it, COVID really is ruined grocery shopping on so many levels.
Yeah.
It really, truly did.
Yeah, it totally did. Holding up the checkout line. Stay off your cell phone when checking out and have your credit card ready to pay. The grocery store often takes up more of our time than we prefer, especially when there is lengthy checkout times. Be respectful of everyone's time and do what you can to make the process as swift and smooth as possible. Don't make everyone in line wait while you run back to get eggs you forgot to put in your basket. Fair.
No, that is absolutely fair. And also those people, like, that's why I avoid the manned checkouts, the actual cashiers.
Yep.
Because people do that so much, like they're not even paying any attention to anything. Like, the U-Scan kind of just implies a certain social responsibility to check your stuff out as quick as possible and get the F out the way.
Yeah, exactly. Get out of there. Returning items to random places. Sometimes you put an item in your shopping cart only to realize in the outing that you don't really need it. But when you're so far from that original aisle, it's tempting to just put the thing down in a random spot. We have no problem with that. We actually have some people that will go up and down the aisles when things are slow and find returns.
Yeah.
But if you have anything perishable, frozen, dairy, meat, produce, talk to somebody, hand it to us, say, here, I decided I didn't want this. Let us take it back to the department and take care of it before it spoils.
Yeah, when it comes to, like, particularly, like, spoilable stuff. Like, no, you absolutely don't just leave that there.
Every once in a while. And people think they're going to get in trouble. So they'll like grab a steak or something like that and like, oh, I decided I don't want it. And then they'll hide it. Not just put it on there. They'll hide it in front of something. And we don't find it until it really starts to stink.
Oh, God.
And it's just like, oh, my God. I know that smell all too well.
Oh, that
sounds. And also the people who, okay, you have like a loaf of bread you decide you don't want. Don't put it next to the fabric softener sheets.
Because it's just going to smell like fabric softener. Like, oh, you ruined that loaf of bread now.
Yeah, anything. I when I was a bagger, people would lose their effing minds if I put their fabric softener sheet anywhere close to any kind of perishables. But yeah, they'll go ahead and leave the perishables right there in the cleaning aisle.
Makes sense.
Not being mindful of your surroundings. Try to pay attention to the people and things around you, especially if you're shopping with little ones who might want to interact with the grocery store space. Don't let them run wild. Don't let them run wild in the store. Don't let them hide in the shelves. Don't let them pull things off the shelf and start throwing them at each other. Keep close watch of your children in the cart and in the aisles. It's also good manners to show courtesy and care for your fellow shoppers, just as you shouldn't ignore your children's impact on others.
Keep your kids on a leash and just chain them to the cart.
You know what? When Joey starts walking and running and everything else, I'm going to put him on one of those leashes. And everybody's just like, oh, that you shouldn't do that. I'm almost 50 years old. I'm not running after no kid.
Yeah, I am far too old to be running after children at this point in my life. That's not happening.
I want to be 51, 52 when he's like really good, just tearing down now. I just want to give that leash a yank. I don't know. I don't think I can call it a leash, but
why not?
A restraint. No,
it's a leash. Let's call it what it is.
I will have no problem. It'll probably be one of those things that are like a retractable kind of thing. To, give him some place to run around, find some freedom, but after a while, it's zzz, bring them back, reel them back in. Come on, now. Ooh, get the net.
Do the calm one.
Get the net.
Oh, that one got away.
Oh well, we'll start another one. But yeah, I mean, you have
we'll start to start another family. What the hell?
You have to be mindful of your surroundings. I mean, there's a lot of people who will. A lot of people flabbergast me though. They'll just start walking backwards, not looking brown. They'll just start walking backwards. And then they get pissed off if they run into me or a cart or another person or the shelf or...
Well, maybe if you actually had eyes in the back of your head, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, but you don't, so look behind yourself and maybe don't walk backwards. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Failing to return your cart... Put the cart in the cart corral or whatever. I mean, that's simple stuff.
The not cart returning people are absolute jerks and deserve to be publicly shamed for that whenever possible.
We're talking about social faux pas
at the grocery store.
At the grocery store. And I'm going to add a couple. And it's typically guys, I call it satelliting, where you satellite your cart, you bring your cart, and then you walk away from it to go grab something, bring it to the car. You walk away from over here. Now you're taking up two spots in the aisle. Just take your cart with you. You schmuck.
I do feel like people do that a lot. I may have also been guilty of that a time or two.
Just take your cart with you. And there's been a couple times where like somebody thought it was an abandoned cart and took it. And somebody gets all, wow, I just left my cart here for a second. It's like, well, it wouldn't have been here for a second. Somebody would have to see it a couple times for them to take the cart. But yeah, point taken. There was one lady. I'm trying to remember how the story goes. She comes up. She says, somebody took my cart. What idiot takes somebody else's cart? What idiot takes somebody else's cart?
And you were the idiot?
No, she was the idiot because come to find out, she grabbed somebody else's cart from over the pharmacy when she was done and walked around the store with it and couldn't find hers because she left it over.
Oh, wow.
She left it over in pharmacy. So I wanted to say, oh, okay, so now that you are more educated, what kind of idiot does it take?
Well, yeah, what kind of idiot just takes somebody else's shopping cart?
Yeah. Being pushy or aggressive in the parking lot, that's anywhere.
Oh, always. Those are the worst.
Do you guys have anything you want to add to that? Just go ahead and leave us a message or post up on Happy Hour on SSR. Happy Hour SSR.
At Happy Hour SSR, yep. Or at Solid State Radio up here.
There you go.
Whatever floats your boat. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. So there's a couple football things that we have to hit on. I think this afternoon. First one I want to touch on here. Apparently, So Sean Payton has taken over as head coach of the Denver Broncos, and he had some things to say last week about the guy he replaced.
Oh, boy.
Now, you may remember Payton ended up spending some time as an analyst for Fox's NFL broadcast after he left the Saints, but before he got hired by the Broncos. And he just went off on Nathaniel Hackett, the moron. I mean, the coach he replaced in Denver. And Hackett has now responded, saying the comments about his coaching performance last season violated an unwritten code. Hackett said he wasn't surprised by Payton's remarks, claiming his Denver Broncos successor has been blasting him publicly for a year. Quote, obviously the last week has been a very unique week for this organization. I've been involved in this business my whole life, 43 years. As a coach's kid, we live in a glass house. We know that. We all live in different rooms. We all have a key for it. It's one of those things. There's a code. There's a way things are done in that house. Payton created national headlines last week, telling USA Today that Hackett's 15-game run with the Broncos last season was, quote, one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL, and that there were, quote, 20 dirty hands around quarterback Russell Wilson. Payton said he made a mistake, saying he planned to call Hackett and Jets coach Robert Saleh to apologize. Hackett said he hasn't received an apology of Payton, nor does he expect Payton to follow through on that. I mean, so Payton ripped Hackett and the Broncos for allowing Wilson to have a private coach in his own office at the team facility, and for disciplinary issues and clock management problems, which Hackett was terrible. Like, there's no arguing around the fact that Nathaniel Hackett was absolute garbage as a head coach in the National Football League. Can't argue against it. He just was. Was it beyond the pale, though, for a guy in Payton who, remember, was getting paid last year to express his opinions on Fox?
Mm-hmm.
To go and publicly say that, yeah, Hackett was effing awful?
No, I think that was kind of what he's used to doing.
I don't think it's that bad of a thing either. Like, that's what you were doing, like, your entire, you know, the entire last season. Like, you're getting paid to provide your opinions, and you did. And he's very much apparently still in that mode going into this season. And honestly, he's right. Like, you're walking into a situation that wasn't good last year because your team was basically coddling Russell Wilson while also hiring a coach that didn't know how to work with him.
Yep.
And you saw some of the biggest just clock management fiascos, things that should never happen on an NFL team. Like, they literally had to hire a guy to manage the clock for this bozo. That's how bad he was. I don't feel like Peyton's comments were out of line. You can make the argument, well, we shouldn't say it because he's, you know, also doing that same job, and, you know, we have to apparently tiptoe around each other in this business. I don't agree with that. What makes it interesting, though, these two teams will be playing each other in Denver October 8th.
Ooh, there we go.
There, you want to talk about some bulletin board material? Oh, you've got it now.
In spades. It's definitely going to be interesting.
Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers responded, as Hackett is his current OC in New York and was for a while in Green Bay, saying, a lot of people were surprised by Payton's criticism. I didn't like it at all. He also called Payton insecure, so on and so forth. Like, I think that's going to make this game far more interesting than it would have been otherwise, because I expected that, honestly, it was going to be kind of a laugher of a game. Like, at the very least, the Jets are going to be awful, but also the Broncos were going to be terrible. But it sounds like now everyone's going to have a reason to show up to this game. Or to watch this game. That's for damn sure.
Oh, yeah. There's your storyline right there.
Yep. You just wrote all the bulletin board material you ever needed.
And it's going to be on national television, isn't it?
And mine's going to make Payton look awfully bad if he gets smacked down by Hackett and Aaron and company. I'm kind of fine with it, though.
Yep.
It is happy hour. It's Solid State Radio. It's happy hour. He's Adam Herhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and we have to talk about this at least a little bit. So it was announced. Sure. Actually, before I'll set that up with this. So you remember last year, I think the year before, CBS Sports was running an alternate telecast of a couple wildcard games on Nickelodeon?
Alternative? Remind me.
So basically, they had alternate broadcasts during a couple NFL playoff games on Nickelodeon the past few seasons, where they had a bunch of really flashy graphics, slime-filled end zones, and, you know, Nickelodeon characters between goalposts and stupid things like that. They're doing it for the Super Bowl this year.
Okay. Were they having a hard time with ratings for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, apparently having a really hard time getting people to watch the biggest broadcast event of the year somehow. The NFL and CBS Sports announced Tuesday this season's Super Bowl will have a kid-centric presentation on Nickelodeon, marking the first time the Super Bowl has had an alternate telecast on another network. CBS has the rights to Super Bowl 58, which will be played in Las Vegas on February 11th next year. This will be the fourth season that CBS and Nickelodeon have teamed up, but the first time the partnership will do more than one broadcast. For the second straight year, they'll do a game on Christmas when the Kansas City Chiefs host the Las Vegas Raiders.
Before they decide that every game is going to be either in Vegas or New Orleans.
Yeah, we're getting there.
So they're going to have the G-rated, PG-rated Super Bowl. So does that mean the other one's going to be like Super Bowl After Dark?
Probably.
Being called by Bob Menery.
I wish. I would. Now, if you want to talk about an alternate broadcast that I would pay all the money for, that is it.
The kids were, golly gee, it sure looks like he got an ouchie on that one. He got a goose egg for sure. Kids, what does CTE mean?
I don't know. I feel like, do we really need to cheapen the Super Bowl in such a manner? I mean, you're doing this one game a year already, like, and I'm not sure it's necessarily having the desired effect. Like, if they're not going to be actually interested in the game itself, in the biggest football game of the year, then, yeah, like, all the slime and cartoon characters in the world probably aren't going to help that any.
Right. Yeah, it really isn't. Now, if they were, and I've said this for the NHL, if they were going to kind of have a game or two, maybe not the Super Bowl, but they were going to have a game or two where they take the time to break down some of the rules.
Right.
And that could help bring in new viewers.
Yeah, it could hurt, certainly. I don't know if this is going to do all that much. I mean, okay, so you're going to bring in people from Nickelodeon cartoons to try and, like, get kids interested in football. Like, is that really going to have the effect that you think it really, like, a bunch of slime graphics really going to be the thing that makes kids like, I want to do this for a living?
Yeah.
Or I want to watch this. I want to be a fan of this team or whatever.
Yeah, next thing you know, they're going to watch a regular game with their dad and be like, wait a minute, where are the Rugrats?
Right?
What's going
Where's
on?
Where's SpongeBob? This sucks.
I thought SpongeBob was supposed to do the coin toss. What is this crap?
And, you know, there's two interesting things on this to me. Like, you have a lot of the old heads going out and really being offended. Like, yo, I didn't get into football because, you know, there was a bunch of fancy graphics and slime and stuff. I got into football because it's the only thing that my dad ever cared about, so I had to start paying attention to it in the hopes that maybe someday he'd actually love me. Like, I actually heard a take on a station on the way in here, one of those little mini sports commentary things. Like, yeah. I didn't get into football because of slime and graphics. I got into it because my dad was pissed off in the front room because his parlay was getting screwed up, and it's the only thing that seemed to give him any actual enjoyment or joy in his life. Like, right. Wow, thanks for telling us that your parents hated you.
Yeah, right. I will say, I mean, okay, if you watch the Nickelodeon feed, does that mean you're going to see less MGM commercials? You're not going to see Jamie Foxx every 20 seconds? Because if that's the case, I might be cool with that.
Yeah. Are we not going to see JB Smoove as Caesar going on every seconds? Like, maybe I won't have to hear so much about DraftKings. Like, you know, I'd be fine with this.
Yeah.
Also, I'm just saying, we're still looking for an official sports betting partner of Happy Hour.
That's right.
If you're out there, reach out to us.
Oh, absolutely. I touched on it a little while ago. I think it would be a great idea for these sports leagues to have a certain game where they break down, like in hockey, bring back the glowing puck, and then take the time to explain what icing is, offsides.
That's fair. Also, I think you're the only one who likes the glow puck, man. I hate to break this to
you. No, I didn't like it either, but I mean, it helped people who aren't used to watching the game to kind of follow along.
That's fair. No, I mean, that would definitely help, I think, in a lot of ways. more so than just adding a bunch of shiny graphics and watch till the end is going to help anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's the TikTok broadcast, like, the game's done in 30 seconds. Make sure you watch all the way to the end.
Yeah. Hey, guys, listen, these guys are going to try to put that puck in, or that football over onto that zone, and these guys are going to try to get the ball over there. Anyway, hit like and subscribe.
Right? Here's Mr. Beast to make a bunch of stupid faces while they do that, because we know you can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have an unboxing thing going off on the side there, or somebody squishing like Play-Doh while you're watching the game over here.
This is the most satisfying football game I've ever watched.
Yeah.
God. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. That's it. It's over. Jack Daniels! It's happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Tuesday afternoon. Don't go anywhere, though. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we like to call Solid State Sessions. All being well, talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya!